Thank you, Joe and Bruce and Christine. So, good morning, everyone. I hope you're doing well at home, and I hope most of you are sitting outside right now and enjoying the sun if you can and still get internet access, that is. The Rye family's doing pretty well. Other than I had a little incident this week where I dropped a 4.5-ton floor jack on my foot. But as you can see, I'm walking. My foot's a little purple, but we're doing okay. Definitely some big changes going on for our family as things are beginning to transition for us. And I just have to say that we look forward to what the Lord is doing in this season. And I also want you to know that I pray on a regular basis for guidance for the church, for guidance for all of you, that the Lord might give you a clear path and give you the direction that you need. You know, I know that a season like this feels a bit like a desert season. And so I want to remind you of something. All throughout Scripture, God is still speaking in the desert. Not too long ago, I preached a sermon about that. But the history is that God continues to speak even in the most dry and parched places. To Israel, to John the Baptist, to Jesus, and right now to the church. So I want to encourage you, keep listening to the Spirit. Share with others what the Lord is teaching you. You know, this also has me wondering then, what is the Lord speaking to you during this time? You know, if you find over the last few weeks or in the weeks to come that the Lord has given you a word to share or a message or something that is just meaningful to share with one another, I encourage you to do that. Don't be shy. Send that to Margaret. Send it out in a message to the church. This is definitely a time when the Lord is speaking, and may we glean some wisdom during this time together. So I thought before we would jump in that we would just take a moment to pray and center our hearts and prepare ourselves to look at God's word and to talk about gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. So let's go ahead and bow our heads and pray now. Lord, we come before you being grateful to be your church, to be your people, to be recipients of your Spirit, which lavishes on us your gifts. Lord, help us to be good stewards of these gifts. Help us to become more aware of the ways that you have equipped us to be your church in the world and to be your church to one another. Be with us now this morning as we enjoy this beautiful day you've given us. Be with us now as we look to your word, as we consider the ways that you have blessed us. Be with all those in the world who are struggling right now, who feel the seasons of desert. Give them a sense of your peace. May they drink fully from you and your Spirit. We love you, Lord. We thank you for the many ways that you bless us and care for us. We pray this in your name. Amen. So this morning is our second week in our sermon series that's centered around the work that we did together with the Discovery Survey. There was a request that I got this week just asking if you all could see the questions again from the original survey. And so if you have any interest in seeing the survey again or seeing the questions again, I want to encourage you to reach out to Margaret and she can forward that survey on to you just for your review if you'd like to go through that again. Now, As we're gonna look at the survey question, the survey question or statement that we're gonna look at this morning is this. It was list three gifts, talents, skills, or abilities that you have. We have quite a few responses from this, and so we are able to compile those responses and create a top five list, which I'll be sharing with you a little later. But I'll admit that this is probably my favorite question on the entire survey, because every aspect of the church and the life of the church should be shaped by the gifts of the people that are a part of it. Now, I really want you to listen to what I'm about ready to tell you, because I think it's extremely important we understand it. The Holy Spirit provides all of the gifts needed for each congregation to be what it's called to be and to do for the season of ministry that God is calling it into. I'll say that one more time. The Holy Spirit, it provides all the gifts that are needed. Everything that is needed for a congregation to be what it's called to be and do for the season of ministry that it's being called into. So what I'm saying is that Millersburg Mennonite has right now in its possession all of the gifts needed to be the kind of church that the Holy Spirit is calling it to be in this next season. Now I want to tease this out a little bit further. What this also means is that as the gifts within the congregation change, whether that's due to transitions or the arrival of new people, by the way, that the Spirit has brought into the church, so should the church's mission and the ways of being the church change. So as transition and change happens, the church also needs to be willing to transition and change. Now, just a side note about a comment I said in there. I said that the Spirit has brought new people to the church. Well, that's what the Spirit does. That's the Spirit's work. See, we're called to live invitational lives, to invite and model invitation, but the Spirit is the one who brings people. So I just want you to be clear on that. So new people are a gift from the Spirit to the church for a new season of ministry. What this means, though, is that the church is not called to be a static organization. What this also means is that things during seasons of growth and transition will need to change and should change, and that's okay. You know, one of the things I've learned is that maintaining the status quo because it's comfortable or familiar or safe, hanging on to that that old-time religion, is disobedience when God's Spirit is trying to do something new. So we have to learn to let go. We have to learn to let go of what we think we know and take the time to see who we are now, who we are becoming, so that we can then understand where we're going and where we're being called. What I'm getting at is that if you want to see what the church's mission should be, look at the gifts present. If you want to shape what a Sunday gathering should look like, look at the gifts that are available to contribute. If you want to reach out to the community, reach out in the ways that you are equipped to reach out. We must answer the question, who has the Spirit brought together and what do each of us bring to the table? Now, everything I just said is why it is so important that the church understand the gifts that are present, both from long-term members and new members, from young to old, from spiritually mature to the new believer. The Spirit is present in the same portion for all who follow Jesus. And that's the beauty of being the church. So let's get back to the survey results. Now, as you were filling out the survey, those of you who participated, you might not have realized just how important this question was. But I think that it's very important. Now, one response that I did see a lot within the surveys was that the response that I'm not sure what my gifts are. Now, another theme that I noticed was a sense that many of you feel like that you don't have much to offer, at least when it comes to the church. So I want to address those two thoughts. Now, this idea that you don't have much to offer, first of all, I just have to say that is utterly untrue. I don't know if that's like a Mennonite humility thing, but you need to cut it out because that's the biggest load of manure I've ever heard. Hear me, the Spirit has gifted you and your gifts are important. And it's not actually humility thinking that you have little to offer. So these responses, these first two responses, tell me two things that need to happen. First is that we need to do a better job of getting you all tools to figure out what your gifts are. And secondly, we need to do a better job of helping you practice confidence in who the Lord made you to be. So while these two responses were very common, many of you did go out on a limb and went ahead and listed the gifts and talents that you have to offer. And so when we compiled these, we came up with the top five. So here they are, starting with the most prevalent to the least prevalent in the top five list. So if you were here, we'd do a drum roll. But the first one is music, which I'm sure is not surprising at all, especially after our experience of music this morning. The second one that came out of the survey was actually a tie. So we grouped these together in like categories, so you know. So tied for second was labor, mechanical, and construction, and preaching, teaching, and storytelling. So that can tell you a little bit about the ways that God might use this community to serve others and to serve each other within the church. The third one was really fascinating to me, and that is listening. One thing that came up over and over again when it came to gifts was that I have the gift of listening. Now, that is unlike anything I've ever heard within the church before. I've spent years helping people discover their gifts and looking at them, and not once have I ever had anyone say that their gift was listening. So there's something there. I think that we should pay attention to that. How might God use listening in this community's ability to listen, to engage the community? The fourth was hospitality, which is no surprise, especially even after last week's sermon, as we looked at the importance of hospitality to this community. And then finally, tied for fifth was caregiving, which meant both for children and for the elderly, and organization, or you could say administration. And so that's the top five list of gifts that we identified through the survey process that represent who Millersburg Mennonite is. Now, I wonder, are any of these surprising to you as you hear them? Do you feel like there's any that are missing? I encourage you to sit down and think about that a little bit. Now, in my experience, I feel like this list represents pretty well my experience with Millersburg Mennonite Church. But I do recommend and hope that we'll be able to spend more time in the future, more energy in the future, discovering more so what the gifts are within this community. After years of meeting with people within the church, I've also seen when we talk about gifts that there are many misconceptions that come to the way that we think about them, namely around what is considered a gift and what isn't. But I have also had the experience where folks have apprehension about their gifts, and they feel like their gifts are not really relevant to the work of the church. And I think that we need to address that one. This last one is particularly interesting to me because if you think about it, the church is really just the people of God practicing community while living in the world. What this means is that all of the gifts, the abilities, the talents a person has are relevant, that are relevant to the world, are also relevant to the church. So if you can build, then you build on behalf of the kingdom of God. If you're good at making money, then you should run an ethical and generous business, and or maybe even start a business that financially supports the ministry of the church in the world. Perhaps you could even start a business that would support planting churches or new church planters who don't have an income from their church work. If you're a person that cares a lot about children, of course there are numerous ways that you can serve within and outside the church. What about if you love to teach or preach? You can use these gifts. Teaching and preaching are not just for the work of a paid pastor. When we all contribute with our gifts, we are being good stewards of the work of the Holy Spirit in us. We're being good stewards of this work of the Holy Spirit in us for the benefit of the church and the world. See, this understanding is at the heart of our Anabaptist value of the priesthood of all believers. There's no hierarchy in our leadership. We're just equally rooted in the love of Christ and the giftings of the Spirit. You know, the apostles, they were keenly aware of how important it was for members of the early church to understand their giftings. In fact, the growth of the early church was directly dependent on people embracing their roles within the body of Christ. This is why both Paul and Peter's letters, we see reminders to the church about members stewarding their gifts well. The message, I think that message is as relevant now as it was back then. You know, from a personal level, I have to admit that I have struggled for a long time with understanding my own giftings and how they fit into the world and the church. Only in the last 4 years have I finally come to understand who I am and what I have to offer. It has taken years of spiritual direction and embracing rather than fighting against how the Spirit has gifted me. So I've learned that I'm gifted as an apostle and a prophet, which means that I have, you know, skills in building new things and birthing new visions and building networks and looking ahead and redefining structures that are stuck in time and place. See, the prophet in me wants to challenge the status quo, and the apostle in me wants to build something with others that will change the world. I've also learned that apostles and prophets are probably the least celebrated gifts in the church. The church structures in the American church want pastors and teachers and shepherds. Yet I'm learning and have learned to embrace and be okay with the gifts that I've been given by the Spirit. Because I'm coming to the point of acknowledging that all gifts have a role to play in the kingdom. And so I want to encourage each of you this morning, no matter what your gift is, God has a place for it. God has a purpose for it. You are important, and the gifts that the Spirit has given you are important too. Accept who you are. Accept what you have to offer, even if it's hard. Even if no one else accepts it or acknowledges its value, your gifts are important, and God wants to use them. I want to challenge you this morning too. If you don't know your gifts, seek to discover them. I recommend taking a spiritual direction with someone, maybe even Christine Nafsinger, who does that. Take a test. Ask yourself the question, what gives me the most life when I do it? Ask friends what they see in you. Seek the Lord's direction. And for those of you who already know what your gifts are, I encourage you, use them to build the kingdom. No matter what they may be, they have a purpose. So don't be afraid of your gifts. Just use them freely in service of the Lord. See, the church needs you and your gifts. And you need others and the gifts and their gifts to be the church. And for MMC, for Millersburg Mennonite Church, accept who you are. Embrace it. Don't worry about the community and what they think or who you might offend in being true to who God made you to be. God has brought incredible gifts into this church body. Utilize them, not just for your own benefit, but to bless the community around us. The community needs the gifts that Millersburg Mennonite Church has to offer. So to close our time this morning, I just want to leave you one more time with the words of Peter to the church. I think it's a powerful challenge for us, a hopeful reminder for what we're called to be and do as the church when it comes to our gifts. So above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that at all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.